Good. Attorney Counselor?
Yes, Your Honor.
Pat?
Yes, sir.
Madam Clerk? Ready to go?
That's pretty funny.
Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If anybody has any cell phones or any other audio devices, if you'd silence them now, it's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. Appreciate it. And Kathy, if you pull that door shut, that'd be fine. Thank you. If you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hope that everyone enjoyed their St. Patrick's Day weekend. Virginia City was engulfed with leprechauns of all sorts all over town. Next on our agenda is going to be item 3, discussion on possible action, approval of the agenda for March the 20th, 2018. Do we have any changes that need to be made to today's agenda?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chairman. We had individuals here from the Hampton Inn. I've lost them momentarily. But we'd like to move them up. This would be item number 31, and we'd like to place that immediately after item 7 and before item 8, the Hampton Inn. And then, tell me when you're ready.
All righty, go right ahead.
If you look at item 30, Sheriff Antonaro pointed out to me this morning that we will actually be approving the liquor license, hopefully approving the liquor license for the Silver Dollar before we approve the general business license. When the sheriff and I talked, I have no problems with the sequence of that. If council is okay,
right?
With it.
So because I mean,
they're two separate items,
right? And they're both on the agenda.
Okay, so no change there. And then last on item 35, this is a very important note for the record. In item 35, Roman numeral 2, third to the last line, basically we're saying during closed session, we'll be discussing an agreement pertaining to wages for certain employees promoted to sergeant in 2016 and deputies hired with an H, H-I-R-E-D, in 2011. Not fired, sir.
What?
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Is there a public comment regarding today's agenda items? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve item 3, today's agenda, with the changes noted.
I'll make a motion to approve item 3, approval of agenda for March 20th, 2018, with the noted changes being that we will move item 31 to follow item 7. And that there's a correction on item 35, section 2, where it says deputies fired will be, is actually supposed to be deputy hired. That's my motion.
Very good. Motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved a second to approve item 3. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4, this is discussion of possible action. Approval of the minutes for January the 16th, 2018. Commissioners, have any comments regarding the minutes of the last meeting? It wasn't the last meeting. It was January the 16th.
January 16th.
Good. Any public comment regarding the minutes of January the 16th? Hearing none, I get a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for January 16th, 2018.
Second.
Moved and second to approve the minutes for January the 16th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. On now to item number 5, discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for February the 20th, 2018. Once again, any public comment regarding the minutes? Hearing none, I get a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for February 20th, 2018.
Second.
Moved and second to approve the minutes for February the 20th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 6. This is the consent agenda. Is there any public comment concerning anything within today's consent agenda? Hearing no comment, if I call for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 7, discussion of possible action, approval of resolution number 18-483, authorizing staff to negotiate with the developers for the formation of Story County Special Assessment District number 01. This is the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, to provide a portion of the funds needed for the construction of an affluent water line. Also attached are draft forms of a proposed expense reimbursement agreement and a deposit agreement for review and possible approval of the forms.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to recuse myself from discussion or from voting on this issue because I have a pecuniary interest in the property that's a subject matter.
Thank you, Mr. Gilman. Mr. Whitner?
Okay, I'd like to start out first off by recognizing two individuals and probably asking them if they would to please come up to the bench on inside the rail. And that would be Marty Johnson, our financial advisor, and Kendra Fillet, our bond counsel. We've had a lot of discussions on this as to whether this is going to be a tax increment area. A few meetings back, this commission approved special assessment district guidelines drafted with, particularly with Ms. Fillet's help, but also input from Mr. Johnson and the team. The project continues to go through various structural design reviews, if you will, by the developer's proponents, primarily Jeremy Aguero, who some of you have met. I want to stress right up front that should you approve this today, which is what staff and our advisors and council are recommending, should you approve this today, nothing binds us to do a special assessment district or a special improvement district. And in fact, what today's agenda item does is it puts us in much better position. Folks like Marty and Kendra, as much as I like them, they don't work for free. They're here. Marty from the Henderson area, or Boulder City, and Kendra from right around here. But this allows us to tell the developer, if you want to go any further with this, then this resolution has paved the way for you guys to put a sum of $175,000, I think, which is what we anticipate our cost to be. And I'll break those down a little bit, not dollar for dollar, but just in terms of purpose and scope. But it allows them to deposit with us $175,000. It'll allow us to recapture all expenses to date for both Marty and Kendra. It also allows us to, and you would be authorizing through this resolution and agenda item, it would allow us to procure the services of an assessment engineer, which would be Far West Engineering, and also of a special appraiser. That would be Mark Stafford with Stafford Appraisals. Mark, some of you know, I know you know, Mr. Chairman, that Mark Stafford does essentially all the industrial assessing, appraising for our assessor on the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. So these guys are perfect choices, in my opinion. The developer's in agreement. So in essence, the resolution, which I'll read just the header into, and this is Story County Special Assessment District number, we're going to name this 01, and the reason for 01 is we have an economic diversification district of 1, that being Tesla, and I wanted some differentiation, even though they're different animals. So Special Assessment District number 0101, the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, and there are a number of resolutions, but this is, we've got number 18-483. So with that, I can go on. I mean, basically, it just simply says we're going to engage people like we already have with Marty and Kendra, and now with Far West and also with Mark Stafford. We're going to engage people that will validate and define numbers that are critical in order for staff to even make a recommendation one way or another. The cost of those services for all involved is targeted at around $175,000, although there is a replenishment in the documents as well. So it's Commissioner McGuffey and I spoke. I may not have worded some of the agenda language quite clearly enough. I want to be very specific that the county won't be paying for these services. Rather, the developer will be depositing with us, and then we will be paying from their monies. And then also just the other integral documents that were far enough along that we've been able to identify, you know, the types of forms that we'd use. That would be the expense reimbursement form and also the deposit agreement that we would be asking the developer to execute.
Okay, great. Thanks, Pat.
Can you
read the title?
Oh, excuse me. I'm told I need to read the title. You have it?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I got it. Resolution-18-483, a resolution authorizing staff to negotiate with the developer for the formation of Story County, Nevada Special District, Special Assessment District Number 01, Tahoe Regional Industrial Center, and providing the effective date.
Great. Thanks, Pat. Jack, do you have any follow-up questions?
No, I had a good discussion with Pat this morning.
Okay. Good. All right. It'll be a good time. I'm sure that there's someone in the public who'd like to comment on this, so we'll open this up for public comment regarding this.
Good morning, Madam District Attorney. It's great to see you here today. Commissioners, for the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. There's a couple of questions that I have, just minor clarification questions. The preliminary work expense agreement identifies Switch collectively as the developer, who are the owners or control the owners of all the property proposed to be assessed. Does this suggest that Switch has power of attorney over all of the other companies that are affected in this assessment district?
I'm kind of looking at bond counsel. I would say no, it does not imply that.
So the language here perhaps should be tweaked a bit to reflect the reality of that. I mean, Switch, you know, clearly will be using most of the cooling water, I would imagine, but Google, you know, could put in, or Alphabet, I guess, could put in way more automated driving systems, or they could put in cooling, you know, data servers, which would require the cooling of this project. So would it be appropriate to scrutinize that language and correct it to reflect accuracy?
I'm getting a head shake no from Ms. Foley. Kennedy, do you want to go ahead and step up to the mic?
Kendra Follett from Sherman and Howard. The actual identity of who this developer will be, we were instructed by Jeremy Aguero to use Switch. I don't know if that entity will change. You know, this is a draft form of this expense agreement, but in essence, the expense agreement just obligates whoever it is amongst the developers that they select to be obligated to pay these expenses.
Thank you.
Very good. There's some ambiguity in, I think, Section 5 of the document. It suggests that the costs and expenses, it implies in reading this paragraph that we're going to be billing this entity, perhaps Switch, perhaps someone else. But most of the other language in these documents suggests that we'll be getting $175,000, which we will use and apply, as opposed to be billing for in-house calculated hours and then having these bills to be paid by the developer. Just to clarify, if we run out of that $175,000 and we need more, we'll ask for it as opposed to billing?
Absolutely. I think I can take this one if you're okay with it. If you're not, jump in, please. But let me explain Section 5 first. And the answer to your question is simply,
thank you,
David, Sam, yes. We will. In fact, we won't do any work until that amount would be replenished, should it need to be. Section 5 really pertains to staff time for the most part. Hugh's time, my time, Mr. Loomis's time, Ms. Langer's time, other times. We're opting right now, at my discretion, or subject to the Commission's approval, of course, not to charge for fixed overhead costs right now. We feel that it falls under the venue of economic development and trying to make projects, good projects, happen. However, should we have to hire somebody? Should this create an overtime? Not that any of us get overtime, but should it create overtime for our staffs in any way, shape, or form? Section 5 reserves the right that we can bill back for those hard costs.
Excellent. Thank you. So just sort of those are sort of the granular details or questions that I have. From a 30,000-foot perspective, there's language in these documents that suggests that the county may or may not issue bonds in order to facilitate this project. And as you know, with my prior comments on the pipeline issue, very concerned about the position of the Story County taxpayer and the position at which point we stand. Again, stepping back a few more steps, the ballot was just finalized last Friday, and there were two seats that are available for the TRIC GID, one of which was not filled and will be presumably unfilled for the duration of the two-year term. In asking Vanessa Stevens about the requirements or the requirements to run on that board, the board basically, you know, in order to live out there, in order to serve on the board, you have to reside within the district.
Okay, now you know, Mr. Toll, you're way off target now.
I'm sorry.
Now you're talking about.
Well, let me.
Please. I'm going to interrupt you here because. Circle back around to your point about what we're talking to about here, not about filling spots on the TRIGID.
Okay, if I may. What I was going to suggest was that in light of the issue with the GID and the fact that if heaven forbid, let's say a meteor strikes and hits TRI and takes out both Switch and the TRIGID, at some point the Story County taxpayers may be liable for any of these bonds that are issued. In the last session of the legislature, Senate Bill number 462 was passed, which allows county commissioners to create a board that oversees the GID's function and operation, provides transparency and reporting. And I would like to suggest that if we move forward on this, that the commission enact and enable a board of oversight per Senate Bill 462, which would provide the taxpayers and the county with some transparency and some oversight for the GID itself.
Well, we could look at that going forward, but the fact of the matter is we're still in the infancy of this project, and so
whether
there's going to be any bonds involved, whether private or public, we don't know where we're at yet.
Okay, so again,
let's not get the cart in front of the horse.
Thank you. And in closing, I would encourage again any bonds that be issued to have Story County taxpayers be not just third, fourth, fifth, or sixth, but dead last in the responsibility of paying them back. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cole.
And if I might just make an added comment there, I mean, those discussions are certainly ones we've had both internally and even externally with the developers' finance person. So. We need this process approved, quite frankly, to even get us to the subsequent steps as to, you know, are we even recommended or not, and if so, in what structure.
Right. Thanks, Scott. Okay. We're still open for public comment regarding this item. No one else has an interest? Okay. With that, it's staff's recommendation that we approve this resolution. So, again,
I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, move to approve the resolution number 18-483, authorizing staff to negotiate with the developers of the formation of Story County Special Assessment District number 01, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, and move to approve the forms of the deposit agreement and the preliminary expense reimbursement agreement.
Thank you.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved to second to go ahead and approve this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you both very much.
Great. Marty and Kendra, thank you for coming up today.
Thank you.
Moving along now to item number 8.
We're going to move to 31, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought we were on 31. You're right. Thanks, Jack. Mm-hmm. All right, item number 31, special use permit 2018-008, request by the applicant Evergreen Reno Industrial Park, LLC, to construct a hotel with additional height beyond the allowed 3 stories or 45 feet in height. The proposed hotel will be 4 stories and approximately 59 feet in height. The subject property is located at 691 Britton Drive, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, assesses parcel number APN 005-041-57.
Good morning. Kathy Canfield for the record. This is a proposed new hotel in the Tri-Center. It's located as you come into the park from I-80 on USA Parkway. This will be located behind that little strip commercial center that's there. It's on the other side. The zoning is I-2, heavy industrial, but per the development handbook and the development agreement, TRI is allowed to designate certain properties as commercial. And so this is one property that they've identified as a commercial property. And because of that, it follows the commercial zoning rather than the industrial zoning parameters. The project, because it's commercial zoning, it has a limit of 45 feet in height. And so this project has come in and has requested a height of 59 feet, which is a 4-story building. Staff is supportive of the 4-story building. The surrounding industrial uses are allowed to go up to 75 feet, so this really isn't out of character for the surrounding uses. If you look on the last page of the staff report, there actually is a display that the applicant has put together to show what the height is. The actual roof height comes in at 48 feet, and the parapets that they're adding on as the decoration of the height actually are what bring it up to approximately 59 feet. The staff is supportive of it, like I said, and the applicants are here if there's any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy. Jack, do you have any questions for Kathy?
No. I think all the questions were answered at the Planning Commission.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to bring one issue to your attention on this, and that under the conditions of approval number 9 is compliance with the fire district requirements, which includes the ladder truck reimbursement consortium, which arises under the general government services agreement with Tesla, and that Tesla is supposed to reimburse the fire district for the cost of a truck. But if a second building comes in excess of 55 feet, then the obligation of Tesla to pay to reimburse the fire district for that truck is reduced by 50%. Whether or not the fire district can impose a 50% increase on this applicant is questionable, but it was something that will probably be decided at the fire district level rather than at this planning commission level or planning issue level.
Can you explain the difference between the 55 and 59?
And in this case, the 55, the only part of this building that's going to go above the 55 feet is a parapet. It's a decorative part of the building. It's not a structural part of the building. But the government services agreement says any building that exceeds 55 feet. So there's an issue. And I have reached out to Tesla to see if what their response to this would be, but I do not have a response at this point.
Okay.
But that's not what this agenda item is covering at this time.
It just proposes a condition, comply with fire district requirements. And included in that condition is the requirement for participation in the ladder truck reinforcement consortium.
Okay. But right now we're just allowing them to build a building with that high peak to speak
yes.
of.
Well, any special use permit is going to go ahead and require that they go ahead and comply with all building and fire code.
Right.
So.
Right.
Okay. This agenda is not addressing the Tesla agreement.
That's the point. No.
Right. And so that would be up to them to either lower their ceiling height or conform to Tesla's request.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. All right. Why don't we go ahead and open it up for public comment. Very nice. How about the... Do you have the owners or the operators? Is there anything that they would like to speak on here? Mr. Campbell or Mr. Patel?
Is there anything you'd like to add?
Okay. All right.
You don't
need to. It's just if you had something you want to say. I mean, I'm encouraged that we're getting another hotel in the county. Yeah. It's wonderful. The park is going to need it as the growth goes on. All right. Once again, I'll ask you any public comment. There's no public comment. Okay, I'll go ahead and ask to get a motion. This is staff's recommendation.
We have
findings of facts?
Okay. Yes.
In the affirmative.
This approval is for special use permit 2018-008, a request by the applicant Evergreen Industrial Park LLC to construct a hotel with additional height beyond the allowed 3 stories or 45 feet in height. The proposed hotel will be 4 stories and approximately 59 feet in height. The subject property is located at 691 Britton Drive, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center in McCarran, Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number APN 0050457. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the McCarran planning area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding for the special use permit is provided in Section 2.E of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of this special use permit. The subject property is located within an existing mixed-use industrial commercial neighborhood in the McCarran area of Story County. The zoning is based on the 1999 Story County Zoning Ordinance, which identifies this property as I-2 Heavy Industrial. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center has identified this parcel as eligible for commercial uses as allowed by the development agreement, and as such follows the zoning requirements for commercial zoning. The additional height for this structure is consistent with what would be permitted for adjacent industrial land uses. Granting of the special use permit with the conditions of approval listed in Section 4 of this report will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons, property in the neighborhood of the subject property. The project is expected to meet the safety and health requirements for the subject area. The use will also be subject to building and fire plan review in order to ensure compliance with federal, state, and other codes. The special use permit will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on abutting properties or the surrounding area, and it will comply with all federal, state, and county regulations. The conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in the 1999 Story County Zoning Ordinance, Section 17.37(I)(2) Heavy Industrial, 17.28 Commercial, and 17.62 Special Uses. Granting of the special use permit will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons working in the neighborhood or area of the subject property, and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property improvements in the neighborhood or area of the subject property.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay, so after being... informed of the findings of fact and the recommendation to pass this by staff, I'd get a motion to approve this.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3.8 of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, move to approve Special Use Permit 2018-008. A request by the applicant Evergreen Reno Industrial Park LLC to construct a hotel with additional height beyond the allowed 3 stories or 45 feet in height. The proposed hotel will be 4 stories and approximately 59 feet in height. The subject property is located at 691 Britton Drive, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number 005-041-57.
Very good. Great. Thanks. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second your motion.
Good. I have a motion and a second to approve the special use permit 2018-008. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Great. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for coming up today, and good luck. Congratulations. And we look forward to the 85 suites that you'll be building in New Hampton this week. Welcome to Story County. Good. Moving now on to item number 8. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. I'll start with Sheriff Antonoro.
Just a few quick updates. We had our newest corrections officer just graduated the academy a little over a week ago, Jacob Smiley. He's the son of Rachel from Dispatch, doing a great job. So we're looking forward to having him. We lost one of our longtime reserves. I think he'd been here since just about the time Pat was sheriff, or when Pat was sheriff, Peter Thomas. He resigned his position just recently. He retired in the real world not long ago, and he's looking forward to spending some time with his family and doing things that don't obligate him elsewhere. So we gave him a plaque of appreciation and wish him well, and he's still going to be in the area just traveling around and enjoying life more. And then the last thing I have, two things. We lost one of our CERT members, Karen Smith, resident here in the county, passed away a few weeks ago from a long battle with cancer. She was active with CERT right up until her health got to the point she could not anymore. Her husband is still on our CERT team and will continue to be active. He was at our last meeting that we had, so he's looking forward to throwing himself into that. The last thing I have is the body cameras that you all approved the purchase of back first of the year. We've got them. We're working out the bugs, and hopefully we'll have them up and running in the very near future. We've got a few of them out, but we're working with IT on a couple of issues, and I think we've about got it resolved up here in Virginia City, but still got a couple of things we're trying to resolve down on the north end. So you'll see your purchase in use soon. Any questions?
Thank you, Sheriff. All right. Representing Community Chest and the library, I see we have Sean Griffin in the audience today.
Good morning, everybody. I'm here pinch hitting for Eric. I know you thought I'd never say that. He's got a bunch of meetings, but I'm also here to give some great news. So those of you that were in this room 2.5 decades plus ago, when we first came to the commissioners and talked about a community center, there was much derision and chagrin. I'm here to tell you today that we got the C of O, and it's the prettiest damn building you've ever seen. The library literally looks like it's floating on air. It's glass on three sides. It's on the second story. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. The vaulted open air space is about half the size of this room, and the ceiling's about as high. Wow. It's going to be a wonderful performance, recreation, youth program, public space. It's just absolutely stunning. Every single penny of the building was raised privately and is paid for. No debt, none whatsoever. We owe, as I said earlier, a large part of that thanks to the Pennington Foundation. We're doing the final, drywall and paint chip stuff this week. On Friday, we're completely finished. The contractors, I was just over at the library this morning helping install the shelves. It is just, it's literally a dream come true. And the beauty is that when we're all gone, this place is going to be here in perpetuity. It's just simply a wonderful structure. This second half is all steel frame, and it's just a delight to be in. If Art Hannafin were still here, his protege designed it, Aaron Berger, He would be elated that this dream came true that he started so long ago with five high school students who also dreamt something like this might be happening, who are now obviously all adults. So it's a wonderful, wonderful day. We're going to have a huge party and welcome the whole community on Friday night, June 1st, 5 to 7. Please put that in your calendars, and if you need to have a special notice to get all the commissioners there, please do that. I would like everybody to come. We'd love to fill the whole building. It's your space. This is a great day, really a great day for Story County. The library will be in the most beautiful space, save maybe Wedge Library at the bottom of the hill in northern Nevada, period. I mean, this is from the library community. You're going to have public health 1.5 days a week very soon, too. That's also something that just didn't exist very, very long ago. Case management, counseling, youth programs, we have early childhood ed outreach, literally the entire age span. It's a glorious day for this community. So I'm kind of glad that Eric had a bunch of other meetings because I wanted to tell you this. So Merry Christmas a little bit early. Thank you.
All right. Congratulations, John. And it's your dedication and perseverance that pulled this off. Yeah. If we didn't have anybody with your intestinal fortitude going forward, this would have never come to a reality. And we all know it for a fact.
Yeah.
Congratulations once again. All right. Since we have our IT director right up front, Mr. Dean.
I have nothing to
All righty. Thank you, James. Just going to start over on this side. Chief Nevin?
Did you see Mike back there, too?
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
That's Casey.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Jeff Nevin. Just a couple of quick things. You may see some activity along Geiger Grade and down Six Mile Canyon. Our fuels crew is working diligently, cleaning up some piles, burning some slash that it was left over, and working on the grant that we received from the state, so you will see some activity along the Geiger Grade Summit area over the next few weeks and months. So, of happy news, we have one of our employees just successfully completed his paramedic schooling through RIMSA. It was about a 14-month process. He was amongst the top of his class, if not the top, throughout the process, so we're fortunate and happy that he's completed that, too. And finally, some sad news, and I hope I'm not taking away from anybody's report, but a longtime resident of Virginia City, a longtime friend and mentor, Tim Lucich, passed away about almost 2 weeks ago from a battle with cancer. Like I said, friend, mentor, I worked with him for a number of years. He lost his battle. It'll be 2 weeks Friday, so just some passing on of that. But he spent a 30-year career with the Nevada Division of Forestry, Sierra Fire Protection District in Truckee Meadows, and just recently retired about 4 years ago. So he was also a volunteer fireman for the Virginia City Volunteer Fire Department for years, too. So that's all I have. If anybody has any questions. Yeah.
Okay, we also approved to participate in our firemen's musters, too, to help out.
He was an avid supporter and participant.
Yes, he was. Thank you, Chief.
Thanks.
Thank you. And along those notes, too, when you talk about the paramedic program, how important it is to Story County that we have paramedic programs, since we don't have a hospital in the county. But our first responders, when you see that fire engine and ambulance show up, you know you're going to have some paramedics there to give you the immediate first aid treatment that you're going to need. So. Thanks, Chief. Next up, we're going to go over to our flood damage and building damage project coordinator, Mike Northman.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mike Northman for the record. Quick update on the construction activities for the flood 2017 damage. At Station 71 and at Community Development, both those buildings stand at about 95%. Just waiting on paint in there. So I'm working with Belfour to get a schedule together. Soon we can get that to happen. As Asbestos abatement is proceeding out at Station 72. There was a bit of floor tile that was uncovered that tested positive for that, so they're removing that at this time. They told me it would take about 2 days to complete that. I'll be meeting with the estimator out there tomorrow, keep that project rolling along. In the clerk's office, the ceiling tiles, the old ceiling tiles have been all removed. Lights have been taken down, and they are prepped for the plaster work, which should begin, we think, this week. Once the plaster work is done and the ceiling tiles are installed, the lights go back up, the office is painted, there'll be a final carpet cleaning, and then that office will be back in business. So I hope to complete that as soon as possible. Here in the judge's chambers, you can hear some activity there. The wallpaper is being removed in preparation for the new wallpaper to be installed there. And again, there's considerable plaster work that'll take place in there. The courthouse roof, there have been a number of delays due to weather, of course. The good news in all this, the temporary patches that they have put up there, principally in the area of these two chimneys here, has been holding, and the building has remained dry through the last several weather events. I tend to keep a close eye on that and continue to push Sierra Builders to get those guys up there. Any questions?
I think out of every disaster, if you will, there's always a shining light. I'm going to pass down for you what Mike showed me this morning is as they were getting back into repair of the plaster work, that is original wallpaper from the judge's chambers, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. All right. Next up, we have our senior center director, Stacy Gilbert. All righty. Let me go along with our next up we'll have Martin Ezverero. I always butcher it anyway. Story County Fire Marshal.
Good morning. For the record, Martin Esvito. Not much to report. We've hired two new inspectors. One's a building inspector, one's a fire inspector. We desperately need them. Things are very busy at the USA Parkway. Things are moving very quickly, and we have a lot going on. So we're very happy to have them. That's all I have.
Okay. Anything for Martin?
Good.
Thank you, Martin. Next up, our wastewater sewer project coordinator, Mike Devin.
Bring my assistant.
Double duty.
For the record, Mike Nevin, I've got some visual for you today. Like they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. So, Anne, you can maybe shave some off the clock, you know, because I won't be talking as much.
Oh, no.
At any rate.
No.
Sherry's going to get that up on the wall. Yeah, please. Anyway, while she's getting that up, I will mention that we're beginning week number 25. We're 190 days in as of Monday, yesterday. We have 210 days left to substantial completion. We're about 47% complete with the project. And if you can see the map here, everything that's highlighted in yellow has been completed. So pretty much everything from State Route 341 south to Union Street and east of D. We picked up some of C at Silver and Flowery. So you can see the highlighted area. It's I can't even see the pointer because I'm colorblind. So Mary will move that. Does that slide up at all? But basically, you get a good representation of what has been completed to date. There you go. Thank you. So that's pretty substantial, almost 50%. Like I say, just about 3% short of 50. And then I want to go into a couple other slides that I took some photographs. That one there. Okay. This here is that actually is a piece of sewer pipe that was still in existence that the sewer tried to flow through. You can see how rotten it is. That was a piece of steel pipe on D Street near Silver that actually was still in service, and there was nothing left at the bottom of the pipe. And how the sewage was actually flowing through there, anybody's best guess. We have some areas where we have solid ground, so that solid ground was able to take some of that. And, you know, we got a lot of absorption in that area too. So, just one. I've got four pictures here to show you. This is that same piece of pipe laying on the ground. And what's laying on the ground is the top of the pipe. And you can see nothing left. This next slide here, that's a piece of the existing main, 8-inch main, a concrete main that runs down Union Street. The Union Street line takes into consideration everything from the top end of town all the way down to in front of the high school. This particular piece here, we found that in several locations along that line, the top is gone, as you can see. This wasn't damage that was created by the crews. This was an actual piece of the pipe that was missing there. And then the final slide here is this actually was a tie-in that comes out of the sewer at the middle school that they had tied into the old water line that fed the CNC mine works back in the day. And it's interesting to note, when they built the addition on the middle school and then the gym locker rooms, of course, were built before that, they had replaced some of the pipe in the parking lot area there, which was a good thing, because we've got two buildings up on C Street that feed into this 6-inch line, one being the Fireman's Museum, and the other one I still consider the Mark Twain bookstore. It's Joe Curtis sold that building, but his mother had a museum in there for years. And those two sewer lines, as well as the gymnasium, and then the north side of the middle school feed into this line. And they had tied in to the PVC, and you can see that on the front side there, toward the bottom left of the screen, a clamp. And then they had about a 3-foot piece of terracotta pipe, and we found that to be true on the south side of the school as well. And actually, that terracotta sewer that was put in the school back in 1936, I believe, when they opened that building, was in pretty decent shape. But what they did here, they had a short piece, and then they used a piece of MPC, metal corrugated pipe, MCP, and they had made a turn there, and then it was an old brick drop box that fed into the big 16-inch water line that they, back in the day, turned into a sewer. And you can see the side of that, how rotten it is, and, you know, once we exposed it, it just was nothing there. So that, of course, has all been replaced. And it's, so the old CMC water line now, everything below C Street, nothing is there's any more on that line. But an interesting side note, little story, if you will. And I don't know whether it's fact or legend, but one time Zeb Kendall, who was a longtime Comstocker, owned the rights to the Consolidated Virginia Mining Works, and as a result, owned the apprentices that went along with it, one being the 16-inch water pipe that fed from a tank up here above Greg Hess's house today down to the CNC shaft to run the water wheel to generate power. And legend has it that when the county converted that because it was abandoned into use for a sewer, that he sued the county and actually was awarded $900 in payment. So kind of an interesting little side note there. And that's probably fact because some of the old timers still remember that, one being Greg Hess Sr. So tomorrow, we've had a couple of little weather delays, as you can well know. I guess Miracle March has arrived. We expect more weather the end of the week, warmer weather, maybe in the form of rain. So there's not a lot going on. Friday, they did not work, of course, due to the snow. Monday and Tuesday today, they're doing some potholing of existing utilities and some locates of laterals. Tomorrow, the milling machine will be up here. We'll be doing D Street, Union. We'll come up Union to B. We'll head south on B and then north to Sutton. So we'll get that section milled. So you can expect that if the weather holds, the crews will be working right behind them. Our goal is to get B and D streets completed before the heavy tourist season arrives. So we've had to make some modifications on B Street, shifting the sewer a little bit more to center of road due to some of the concerns with the construction of some of the buildings on C Street. Some of those walls at the street C Street level come up to B Street, can be as high as 26 to 28 feet. And their rock wall, if you will, that are the backside of those buildings. So we're shifting that line a little bit more to center to try to avoid some of the vibration against those walls. So that's a good thing. We did have one recent archaeological shutdown on I Street. They determined that it may have been some fill material from dumped over the years. There were some stratified deposits and then some broken pieces of glass, one being Chinese plate with some writing on it. So we went through that process, and that actually moved a little bit quicker than I thought it would. So we're in, done, and that's been completed. So if you have any questions,
When you say everything in yellow is complete, is that like all the residents are?
Yeah.
They're all hooked up to it?
And just to let you know, yeah, included in those highlighted areas, 24,550 linear feet of pipe, mainline, 120 manholes, and 183 service connections.
And while you never know, I think it would be safe to say some of the more anticipated difficulties are in that yellow area, Tunnel 7 in particular. Some of the collar frameworks, not collar.
Savage.
Savage, excuse me.
That we
Savage. So we're hopeful as we continue to move uphill and north that some of the tougher stuff has been found.
Because a lot of the mining buildings, of course, were on the lower end below C Street. So Pat made mention of the Tunnel 6 area along E Street there. And north of Taylor, they had a pretty significant framework of that tunnel, and there were two rock walls on either side of the tunnel that kind of winged out. if you will, to the Union Street, and then the spur lines went into where the existing freight depot area is today. We did hit a portion of the wing wall at E and Union, pretty much right in front of the conference center there, at the edge of the parking lot. We decided to shift everything a little bit to the west there to avoid that wall and to not disturb it. We did dig around it, and they were able to document how deep it was, what was remaining of it. It was a pretty substantial wall because it, at ground level, then it probably raised up about 4 feet, and then there was a wood fence all the way along it from the entrance to the tunnel, just this side of the Catholic Church, down to Union. So we were able to avoid that area, which was a good thing. We didn't have a shutdown there. Anything additional you might have questions on?
No.
As Mike moves away, you know, we have a contract with Mike, obviously, for professional services and oversight. And I think that contract was cast at somewhere around 20 hours a week, wasn't it, Mike?
Yeah.
20. Although, again, that was just the idea as we were discussing, you know, monthly fixed costs. I've been out there most every day for a few minutes here, a few minutes there. Mike's got probably, I'll stop short of saying he's probably working more hours than when he was our public works director, but it's darn close. And just to kind of let everybody know, too, we're not changing that dollar amount, but I think it'll be at the next commission meeting. We want to expand the scope of Mike's contract to include two additional projects that he's already been working on gratis right now. That would be the problems at the Gold Hill septic system won't go away. We've got to fix them. We've got to go down to NDEP
next week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then today, with Kendra still here and Sherry, we'll be talking about the waterline project too. So we'll go over that at the next meeting.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay, stay right there, Sherry. Talk to you here in a minute. Director of the BCTC, Jenny Dawson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Denny Dodson, Tourism Director. I think it's safe to say that, if you had 2 feet of snow in just about any other venue in northern Nevada, you'd probably see an event canceled. But, here in Virginia City, we don't do that. We don't know if that's because we're tough or not so smart, but we put on an event and it actually worked. We did have to trim the parade. You know, we had some people cancel. We had a lot of snow out there, closing side streets, not having a place to park. Some of the safety issues, talking with the sheriff, we made the decision to back off on the parade, but the event, I think, still did okay, probably about 2/3 of a normal attendance, but I think it was a good day otherwise. But my hat's off to everyone from the commissioners, the county manager, public works. Jason probably worked, I don't know how many hours straight, and I had to call him to come right back up the hill with another little problem, and he just jumped right on it. So big team effort, and I well appreciated. Merchants, I think, did okay. Piper's will be starting some tours, regular scheduled tours, April 5th. Whitney's got that lined up, and she'll be doing that in between some of the events that they have scheduled. They're working real hard on that, and they've also, you'll talk on the a little later in the agenda today about the inventory, so you'll have that for you. The VCTC hired a new person for the Visitor Center, Lisa McGillowee. I didn't butcher her name, but she's been around as a docent for quite a few years, worked in a couple of photo shops, has a little retail background, and she's going to be our person behind the Crystal Bar starting in a couple of weeks. And then finally, V&T, still on track. We're looking real close to naming a general manager, getting some marketing going real quick. We got a schedule done with Tom Gray, and we'll be revealing that with a big press release, hopefully here in the next 2 weeks. So, yes.
So, the festival. Would you elaborate on the judges that came in from out of state?
Both Travel Nevada, RAD, Carson Valley Visitors Authority, and then RSCBA and ourselves, we all got together and put a pitch out and for these bloggers. It's called Man Tripping. It's basically men who write, blog, or newspaper, you know, guys across the country. And they joined forces. They came in a group. We did a big itinerary here in Northern Nevada where they got to go see all of our best stuff. And then we kept telling them they were going to be judges for this oyster fry. And I don't think it hit them until they walked in the tent and they really realized what they were doing. But they actually loved it. A lot of these guys are very high profile in the beverage and food industry. So they've had, many times to judge. But three out of the five had never tasted Rocky Mountain oysters. They were very, very much excited, very pleased, surprised of the quality of some of the dishes. And that the press, I think you'll see the media, the reach that we get with this event. It's going to take another jump. So I'm looking forward to see some of the articles that we'll share in the future. But Jack, thank you, and to our green-haired DA friend here for leading the charge with the judges.
It was fun working with that group. Like you said, only two of the five had this cuisine before.
Mm-hmm.
And at first they were a little queasy, but they were curious at the same time. And after they had a couple of good recipes down, they were... Yeah, they were happy.
Yeah. The comment I always chuckle is that when you say they're going to judge oysters, they go, "Oh, I love oysters. What coast are they from?" I say, "No, they're kind of in the middle."
Yeah.
Let's go.
Literally.
That's all I have.
Yeah. You team did a great job, Danny, pulling it off. Most places would have just thrown their hands up, but now we pulled.
Oh, you mean in 24 degree weather? Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. All right. Next up, we'll go ahead and get our Director of Community Relations, Sherry Nevin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sherry Nevin for the record. We're going to be kicking off a series of free dump events starting at the Lockwood Regional Landfill, basically the first three weekends in April. They're open from 8 to 4:30 down there. That is open to all residents of Story County. Common items that they accept are, the list goes on and on and on. I'm just going to go over a couple of frequently asked questions. They will take tires. You can only get rid of four. They will take certain appliances. So they'll take a refrigerator, but they may charge for coolant recovery. They'll take hot water heaters, stoves, dishwashers, washers, and dryers. They'll also take sofas, mattresses, box springs, and the like. Unacceptable items are dirt and concrete. Any electronics such as TVs and computers, they will not take those. Liquids, toxic or hazardous materials, engines, transmissions, all those kind of things they will not accept. So the first event's going to be, like I said, at the Lockwood Regional Landfill those first three weekends in April. And then we have our event here at the Virginia City Transfer Station Thursday, May 3rd through Saturday, May 5th, from 8 to 4. They do take a half hour of lunch from 12 to 12:30. So mark your calendars, and if you have any waste that falls within those acceptable items, they will take it. This is only open to residential customers, so it's not open to commercial businesses during this event. So this is an event that we've teamed up with Waste Management for several years. So that's all I have at this time.
Are they going to permit Story County residents that don't live in Lockwood to use the Lockwood landfill? Because we know there's been an issue in the past.
Yeah, there has. There's been an issue there, and we also had quite an issue up here at the Virginia City Transfer Station. So I've hoped to curb that issue, and I sent Waste Management a list of all of the streets in both Mark Twain and the Highlands, because those seem to be the areas here in Virginia City that they were turning folks away. They said, "Oh, you have a Reno address or you have a Dayton address." So they should have all those, and they're communicating it to the employees there at the transfer station. The Lockwood events are open to anyone in in the area here, so they shouldn't be turning anyone away there. So.
Great. Yeah, it's a good time to get rid of these large appliances.
Sherry, do you have an update? We delivered a bunch of playground equipment to the Louise Perry Park, and it has been there on the grounds for some time. But any update on the installation of the equipment yet?
Yes, they started the layout on it. They're supposed to start drilling the holes next week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Pat, do you want to introduce the next?
Yes. I think the chairman would next be calling up a gentleman that I wrote to all of our department heads and the commissioners this morning. For the past several months, we've called Jason Wierzbecki, Jason Alphabet, almost every name in the book, from acting public works director to interim public works director to almost anything else. It gives me great pleasure to now just call him our public works director, period, as yesterday Jason accepted the opportunity to lead that portion of our great team for the long term. Congratulations, Jason.
Do you have anything to say?
Nope.
Much better than his predecessor.
Oh, it's exactly.
Wow.
He's got a clock named after him.
The director of human resources and planning, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Austin Osborne, for the record. I'm just going to focus on one thing today. It's our open enrollment for health benefits insurance. We've been working diligently with Hometown Health, as well as LP Insurance, our insurance carrier, on trying to address what I have brought to your attention over the last 6 months or so, that we have a situation with our experience rating right now. It isn't because we're old or sick or anything going on. It's because it's the way the dice are rolling right now. And that's just how it is in the insurance world. And if the dice roll the way they do typically, the next year it'll be better and someone else in some other jurisdiction will have what we're going through right now. So we initially started off at over a 35% increase. It's unacceptable. We looked at all of our different options and negotiated and bargained back and forth and looked at ways we can modify our plan. And we got it down to about 23% increase right now. And we are still negotiating and still working with LP and Hometown to try to get that ratcheted down a little bit. How we're going to get that ratcheted down is, and how we've got it down to 23% is really raising deductibles and raising out-of-pocket expenses and otherwise changing the plan. That will be, paid for by the members of the plan. And it is what it is. We don't like it, but it needs to be done. And we recognize the most important thing is here is we can't just accept a 38-35% increase and put that on the back of the taxpayers. And we understand that you all have provided direction to try to get this thing down to a reasonable number. And we're still working on it, but we think it's going to hover somewhere around 23%. If it does, and no major changes happen, our open enrollment dates will be April 4 and April 6. People will be able to choose between one of four options, either 10 o'clock or 1 o'clock on both of those days. And we don't expect those to be postponed. It could be postponed if our last negotiations that we're doing right now with these folks don't get us what we need in the amount of time that's needed. But we do anticipate that April 4 and April 6 will be the dates that these occur. And then last, on the planning side, I'm just going to very briefly let you know that the monopine out in the Highlands, the folks at AT&T are still working on that, and they did anticipate in the spring, which we're in spring, that there will be 12 antennas or so on the monopine with AT&T service for the Highlands, and they've been working with our team on providing AT&T service here in Virginia City, and we're working with them to try to locate an appropriate place to put a cell tower. They cannot put their antennas on the existing flag tower on the divide because there's not enough space to put all the antennas they have planned. And Kathy, as you're aware, Kathy Canfield is continuing to work with the community and the businesses on the sign ordinance update. She's continuing to work with the Planning Commission on that as well. She's doing a great job and simplifying and making that streamlined. I really say this so folks in the audience and businesses who are listening, this is your chance to get in there what you want, what you don't want, because really it's going to be a community-driven ordinance and ultimately up to this board for a decision. That's it.
Great. Any questions for Austin? No? Great. Thanks, Austin.
Thank you.
All right. We also have an attendance today, the RSVP field representative, Luis Pena. Do you have anything today, Luis?
Okay.
Yes, I'm Louise Pena from the River District RSVP. I want to thank Sherry for all the work she's helping me get, so our van is going to be taken and the maintenance is going to go all over it. I've also asked, because we can't seem to find but one set of keys, that they're going to check out rekeying the van so that I don't have to panic over somebody pulling something on the van. It is a challenge, I will tell you, because of the past history of what went down, but I am determined to get this going. It's like right now, as soon as my van hits, I'm going to drive through the community and show them that it's running, because that's what I hear is, oh yeah, well, that van hasn't moved for years. But once that happens, I think people will come aboard. We have a huge need for the help our seniors. I am looking into the all aspects. What I do have, I think Commissioner McBride, you were sent a request to join, and we had a letter from RSVP about National Service Recognition Day, which evidently is April 3rd. And I'm trying to get, it's so fast, and I am so new at this, but I am trying to get hopefully maybe our commissioners together at one of the senior center and wherever the crowd's the biggest. I was thinking actually on the 2nd of April and bringing some people up here for the senior thing with Commissioner McGuffey's lunch and have that our big deal for the National Service Recognition Day. Other than that, I'm just plowing through. I feel very good of the support the county's given us. I'm really new at this, but I'm working on it. So I do thank the thing. My husband and I went to Winnemucca for a training session for transit, which was very irritating to my husband because he has drove transit for 27 years. I drove for 16 years. And we've seen it all. But because Story County owns the van, we get to do a little bit different. We don't, we're checking into it, but it sounds like we get to do our own training out in Lockwood. So the residents that are going to drive this van or drive the people, whether it's their personal thing, any drivers there, my husband has agreed to set up a safety training on the van, as well as just common sense safety. One of the things he will issue is trying to teach how to get on Lockwood with the traffic we have to deal with. And we know it, we see it. Yesterday, this guy comes to a complete stop if he'd have just went through, he'd have got on, but he stopped instead. But we're working on that. We will bring you the plan as well as RSVP on our training program for drivers so that we follow. And it, when you come up with a plan for safety and driving, it usually helps the insurance. And that's where we're at. Besides, we want to make sure that all residents, whether they're driving or whether they're riding, are safe and can trust the drivers that they are safe. They do check into the driving records, and I do get to see those, but that's kind of where we're at. We're just moving forward. So are there any questions?
Good.
Thank you,
Louise. Thank you for your
effort. Thank you.
Thanks for your tenacity. Yeah. All right. Over at the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing is at this time, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right, we'll move on down into our legal department now and then. Special counsel, Mr. Morris.
Nothing today, thank you.
Chief Deputy Lewis.
Good day, thanks.
DA Langer.
I donated my time to Mr. Nevin. Yeah. Nothing today.
And judging the festival as well. Thank you. All right. County Manager Whitman.
Several things today. First off, go Wolfpack. Those were two of the best basketball games I have seen probably ever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to report for a couple of guys that are out today. Dave Ballard wanted everybody to know that at the next meeting he hopes to be able to give you a full update on the phone system conversion here for the courthouse. We're moving everybody over to voice over IP. That is in the process. IT is working with communications. Our vendor was here most all day yesterday. And we're in the process of bringing the new system up. The hopes are between James and Dave that we can get some of the bugs out before AT&T completely ports over all of our numbers, because that's where it gets interesting, I guess, and exciting. Sometimes they do it and we don't necessarily know they've done it. And Dave wanted me to remind everybody this will probably happen between now and the next meeting. You may see some very strange prefix numbers. You could see 847 on some because we are porting over main numbers, but you might also see a 583 number being used. That should be a temporary number that will hopefully go away, although there will be a few of those used on star phones here in the courtroom, my office, and the slammer. So that's Dave's update. Gary's out with a bad back, and I think Martin pretty well covered everything. Although it's interesting to get two different reports from two different guys. I'll have to share mine with you next time. So when you say it's really busy, Martin, Gary says it's actually been a pretty productive week catching up. Gary sends a great, almost weekly, periodic update. And he says the team's referring to the ability to catch up this week with a small lull in permits as the calm before the storm. And we do know that's coming. We've got, I think, Fulcrum's making a lot of noise. You just approved the special use permit for Hampton, which means those plans are probably either already in and the construction will start. Additional activity going on Conoco's third building. This would be essentially the southeasternmost set of buildings off of USA Parkway. It's not on the Zoo Lily side, but on the other side there'll be a Conoco 3 going in there behind Jet. The Hilton project on USA and Denmark is still in the works. We're glad for that. So that would be our third hotel. Discussions are on with another server farm. Gary and Sarah and Melissa are working hard on partnering with the Secretary of State's office on Silver Plume. That's their consolidated business license works that cost us nothing. There'll be a soft rollout date on that. Looks to be like the first week in April where business customers can log on to the state's site and take care of both the state and the county business licensing needs at the same time. A lot of our team members attended the Studio 6 soft opening last week. They have a CFO and I think maybe accepting some tenants already, Martin?
They were going to try to open Friday.
Okay. That included gaming, thanks to the sheriff's office and the sheriff specifically. And just a little statistical perspective from Gary's viewpoint. Running year-to-date, we've issued 348 permits this year, and I would assume this to be a fiscal year. Last year, we were at 242, so we're up about 40% in our permit issues. And essentially, everybody in that department, Pete, Tracy, Martin, Patty, Ashley, and Joe, are scheduled for some level of training and cross-training coming up in the next several weeks. Is that Sacramento we're going to?
I take off April 1st.
Okay. Anyway, lots of stuff going on there. I want to reemphasize something Mike said, mostly for the public, I guess, but for all of you. Certain levels of the sewer pipeline project have been very intrusive. Nothing probably will be more intrusive, I think, than these next couple of weeks. Very tight quarters. Ames is very aware of the volume of business that goes on here in this building, but we got to rip up the street and put in a pipeline. So they'll be working with us to get in and out, but it's going to be tough. We've told the people in the apartments across the street you can't park on the street, which means they'll be parking in the lot Timing is never good because we've got about an eighth of that lot tied up for the roof project, but we've got to let that finish up too so we can get that done. So it's going to be tight around here, but I remind everybody that a year ago today we didn't even have the parking lot. So kind of keep that in mind for perspective. Last on the list, a little bit of disappointing news, but I'm really proud of NDOT. I've gotten multiple calls from Pedro, and this is in regards to our traffic signal at USA and Electric. Through no control of NDOT, there are a couple of supply materials issues that aren't available to primarily NV Energy, and then something with Cox Cable I'm not 100% sure of. So what we were hoping to start construction in March and end in May is now starting in May and ending in July. And just as of this morning, Pedro was tracking down the folks at Tesla who have been pushing very hard for good reason to try to implement some interim traffic monitoring and help. They'll have flaggers out there. I told them I wanted to check with Sheriff Antonoro and Chief Nevin. There'll be a few modified traffic patterns, you know, for the 2 months while we're waiting for it. But at least from NDOT's perspective, they're working on it as hard as they can. And that's my report.
I think that 583 prefix is going to be permanent because I think they've run out of 847 numbers. Because I know other people in town that have the 583 prefix now.
Okay.
All righty. All right. That concludes the committee and staff report, so we'll move on to item 9. This is the board comments. We'll take some public comment. Start to my far left. Commissioner Gilman?
Nothing today, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Lance. Commissioner McGuffey?
Yeah. Okay. So to give everybody an update, as most of you know, we were unsuccessful in getting to Washington, D.C. for our annual NACO legislative conference. We got up early in the morning, like 2:30 in the morning, because it was snowing. And so we got up early to meet here in town, so we could drive down together. And, of course, it was snowing pretty good, and we get to the airport, and we had to wait around an hour extra, and ended up, our flight was a little late because they had to de-ice the plane, and we got to Phoenix, and as soon as we got, in fact, actually when our plane left the gate in Reno, our flight out of Phoenix to Washington was canceled, so when we got there, we had to rush right to the service counter and try to find a flight, and they got us another flight. It was a couple hours out, so went and had breakfast, and then they canceled that flight, and then they got us on another flight, and a couple hours later that was canceled, and they got us on a standby flight, and that was like the last plane going out, and they actually boarded that plane. We didn't get on as standby because everybody wanted to go to Washington, D.C. there, but they ended up, after they boarded the plane, they canceled the flight, so... So then it was like we're rushing back to the service counter. This lady was just very generous to us. She, every time something happened, every time the flight got canceled, we'd run back to her. So she knew us very well before the day was over. And so she finally, we threw the towel in and says, get us home. So then the next problem was the luggage. We don't know whose name tag was on the luggage. They just took all the luggage tags and put them on whatever bag was there. So I think I would have got Marshall's luggage. If I ended up going to Washington, D.C., I would have had Marshall's clothes to wear for a week.
You look like Tom Hanks and Big.
Exactly. So we ended up getting back here at midnight. So it was a long day in Phoenix. And then we come back to a foot of snow, and it's still snowing. So it was a trip to remember. Second, Mountain Oyster Fest. I'm going to touch base on that again. It was a great turnout, I thought, for the weather conditions. Everybody took it in stride. The kids loved it. I mean, all the snowball fights, and yeah, they were having a good old time just stomping around in the snow. We had a few new cooks, a few new winners. It wasn't the same old winners. It got kind of mixed up this year.
And, of course, we have a whole new judging panel. And I think what really helped, too, was I'm going to give the hats off to the county and NDOT crews for clearing as much as they could in the amount of time they had. Things dried out good enough for the Oyster Festival. There was still some, they were able to get some parking. It was kind of on a limited basis, but again, my hat's off to Jason, your team, and NDOT jumping in there. And also there was some private people out there as well. Mike Nevin, one of them, he's kind of a regular. When it snows, he takes care of that north end of town pretty good. So thank you, Mike. And then lastly, all I have to say is go Pack.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jack. All right. It's been another bad month in the county since our last meeting. We've lost a lot more residents. And the sheriff went ahead and made mention of an old lady and Chief Nevin as well. One that should not be overlooked was a longtime resident and love of Piper's Opera House was Ray Bader. And she was a longtime docent. She used to coordinate the docents over the state for many, many years. And long before the school district had purchased the property over there, it was all volunteer organization. And Ray just really had her heart into it. So anyway, she lost her battle here a couple weeks ago as well. So anyway, our condolences go to sourdough her husband. So. That concludes my comments, and now we're going to go ahead and move on to item number 10. And we're going to appoint Story County Representative to the Carson Water Subconservancy District, the CWSD, Carson River Watershed Committee, as a voting member. You can handle this, Pat?
I think Austin and Ed are, here.
Okay. Oh, there's Ed.
Better put
it in. How are you doing today?
Good.
Thanks for coming on.
For the record, Ed James with the Carson Water Subconservancy District. And a little background, I've been before you several times, but I want to focus that on the Carson Water Subconservancy, the goal of the organization is to work cooperatively throughout the watershed to the ultimate goal of making the watershed a better place for the communities, the people who live there, and the environment. And for years, Austin has been attending our board meetings. We have appreciated his participation. But the board felt that they want to recognize that you do have part of the watershed in the Carson and like to see if having you actually official, someone from your county being an official voting member to the committee, the Carson Watershed Committee, as we try to move forward. And again, the idea is to bring ideas to the community, to the watershed, to promote and make it a better place. The nice thing about our organization, we have no authority. So anything that we come up with is hopefully a better plan that if there is something that comes into Story County, we would come back and bring it to you, and ultimately you decide if you want to implement it or not. We've done things with noxious weeds in your county. We're now looking at a flood, stormwater project in your area, and other things that we've done to try to work cooperatively because whatever comes down your area hits Lyon County and then goes into the river. So we are one big watershed, and that's our ultimate goal is to work cooperatively, and we just want to recognize hopefully a person who will be more efficient official at our board meetings from Story County.
Great. I don't think too much Story County water makes it into that river.
No, sometimes 6 Mile comes down, but that's about it, yes. But again, it's more of the other stuff that goes on, the environment, the noxious weeds, If we just treat it in Lyon County and then treat it up here, it'd always keep coming down. So
that's a big issue. Great. Commissioners, have any questions regarding this appointment? All right. Any public comment? Okay. Staff's recommendation?
Staff's recommendation would be to appoint Mr. Osborne. He loves going to these meetings. He's interactive. He comes back with good ideas. And I think the next agenda item is a classic example about how the collaboration between all the jurisdictions works to everyone's benefit. So definitely Mr. Osborne.
Okay, great. Thanks, Pat. With no public comment, we'll go ahead and ask for a motion.
Okay. Based on the recommendation by staff, Aye, County Commissioner Jack McGuffey. Motion to appoint Administrative Officer Planning Director Austin Osborne to represent Story County as a voting member on the Carson Water Subconservancy District, known as CWSD, Carson River Watershed Committee, for the remainder of the 2018 calendar year.
Second. Been moved and second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, then next up will be item 11. Discussion of possible action. Authorize the county manager to sign a contract between Story County and the Carson Water Subconservancy District, CWSD, in the amount of $15,000 in the 2018-19 fiscal year to reimburse the CWSD for development of the Mark Twain Drainage Area Master Plan, identifying and qualifying the flood hazard risk in the Mark Twain Estates and immediate surrounding area.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. And with me up here is Ed James from the Carson Water Subconservancy District. He's the director there for the record. Now, we'll probably play off of each other a little bit here on this, but I think you've heard me talk about the program that we're going to do down in Mark Twain with the Carson Water Subconservancy for quite some time. You might be tired of me talking about it by now, but it's about a $355,000 or $370,000 flood mitigation plan that we're going to do down in Mark Twain Estates in that area. It ties into Mark Twain and Lyon County as well as the Dayton Valley area. And FEMA is providing funding up to a certain amount, and then there's some overage on that plan. And the overage is what is in front of you today for approval. And I've talked with Jeff Page, the Lyon County manager, and we talked about what the overage would be split between the two jurisdictions. We believe about 60% of the plan is going to be in his county, about 40% in our county, respective to geography, and that's where that amount was being split. It's about a $37,000 overage. So the subconservancy is asking $15,000 from this board. Okay. And I'm happy to Ed explain anything he feels might be needed as well.
Mm-hmm. I think it sounds more than fair. We get into a huge project, and our share of the expense, it seems to be pretty minimal. Yeah. Commissioners, have any questions regarding this?
I think it's been a long time coming, and it's important that we complete our study down there and help the Mark Twain community.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of.
All right. Any public comment regarding this item?
Mm-hmm.
James, do you want to follow up with anything on this?
Just again, for the record, Ed James, Carson Water Subconservancy. We are already doing a study like this in Douglas County, and a lot of times when you start looking at alluvial fans, it can be significant damage. And if you look at what happened the last couple of storms, we're dealing with the river pretty good with flooding, but most of the damage we saw in all the different counties came from alluvial fans. And what happens, of course, you start building these alluvial fans, but you got the mountains here, you got the river here, you got development in between. A lot of times, forethought hasn't gotten for how you're going to handle that. So this will give you a plan and hopefully a tool that you start looking at and says, okay, as we deal forward, how do we want to protect our community and be able to grow those communities in a safe manner? So hopefully it'll be a nice plan that I know Douglas County is looking forward to theirs being completed and hopefully give you tools in the future.
Yeah, and we need those tools when you look at all the damage we had in the Mark Twain Estates, you know, in the last couple of years. There was just terrible flooding down there. Because the alluvial fans, as you mentioned, is our problem. We can't control the weather yet.
And it's not going to go away, yes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, if I may, just one other point. Just for the public, I'd like to let them know that we're still coordinating the meeting. It's a little bit tentative at this time, but April 26th at 5:30 p.m. at the Mark Twain Community Center is going to be our first kickoff workshop for the public. They'll have a chance to look at maps, actually interact with J.E. Fuller, who is the contractor that's working on the project, as well as Ed and his team. And then we're going to tie that in with a Planning Commission meeting, but that'll be mostly at a workshop setup. And we'll let everyone know through Facebook and other means what the actual final date is, but it should be April 26th.
Thank Great. You. All right. Once again, I'll ask if there's any public comment. Hearing none, if I go ahead and get a motion to approve this item.
Based on the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, motion to authorize the county manager to sign a contract between Story County and Carson Water Subconservancy District, CWSD, in the amount of $15,000 $1,000 in the 2018-19 fiscal year to reimburse the CWSD for development of the Mark Twain Drainage Area Master Plan, identifying and quantifying the flood hazard risk of, in the Mark Twain Estates and immediate surrounding area.
I'll second.
All right, I move the second to authorize this item for $15,000. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thank you for coming up today, Mr. James.
Thank you.
Next up is item number 12. This is a public hearing. We'll take no action. Public hearing on an inter-fund loan for the Story County 5-mile water line project from the general fund to the water system fund in the amount of $2,126,000. Ms. Nevin.
Thank you, Commissioner McBride. Just a quick summary here. Story County secured through the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, a loan for $2.126 million back in December of 2016 to finance the construction of the 5-mile water line replacement project. Per the letter of conditions, which was in your packet, item number 17 requires the county to seek interim financing for construction activities. This public hearing, we are seeking approval, which in the another item is a resolution for the interfund loan, basically from the general fund to the water fund for financing of the construction of this project, which is slated to begin in June of 2018. We still have a few items we're working on through our letter of conditions. One big item before we can move through to a lot of other things is a right-of-way grant from the Bureau of Land Management. So we're diligently working with them to get that so we can move on with meeting the rest of our letter of conditions, property rights and such, so we can start. Utilizing the interfund loan will allow us to save on interest costs rather than having to go to a commercial source of financing. As you know, when we built the wastewater treatment plant, we did have to seek commercial financing for the construction portion of that, and there's a significant cost in that, closing cost, interest cost. With the rising construction costs, we want to be able to utilize every little last penny that we can in our budget with USDA to go towards construction. So using this will allow us. The interfund loan must be repaid within 1 year after the date which the loan is made. We anticipate that construction will probably take about 8 months, so we'll be well within that 12-month time period. And then once construction is done, the permanent loan with the USDA will come into place. So that's kind of the information on that. We have Kendra here with Sherman and Howard. She's going to speak a little bit about some changes that we want to make to that resolution, specifically on the interest side.
Okay.
Good morning. Kendra Follett from Sherman and Howard. So I don't know if you want me to make the change now to the resolution, or do you want to have the public hearing?
I'll find it. Yeah, so it's a public hearing.
I'll just mention that we're going to suggest a change. Right now, the resolution provides for no interest rate, and we'll suggest a...
Well, we can get to that when we get to that item.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
This is really related. Yeah, so it's just a public hearing at this point. We can take public comment.
Anything to add to that?
Public
Sherry,
comment.
If not, otherwise, we'll go ahead and move on.
Yeah, no.
Okay, great. It's a non-action item. So
public comment?
I don't think so.
We could do it in conjunction with 12.
Right. They're in conjunction together, 12 and 13.
So why don't we go ahead? Why don't we move on to the... Yeah, why don't we go ahead and move on to, well, 13 and then 14, right? So I suggest we move on to 13 now.
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right. Next up on the item, next item up is going to be item 13, discussion of possible action, approval of the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, Rural Development Loan Resolution for the financing of Story County 5-mile waterline project.
Again, Sherry Nevin for the record. Just to reiterate, we secured a United States Department of Agriculture loan in the amount of $2,126,000 to finance the construction of the 5-mile waterline replacement project. The USDA letter of intent to meet conditions outlines all of the conditions that must be met prior to USDA rural development authorizing the county to go out to bid and proceed with construction. It is anticipated that construction will commence on this project in around June of this year. We are working diligently to meet those letter of conditions. One of the conditions is RUS Bulletin 1780-27, which is this loan resolution that we have in front of you today seeking approval. The loan is scheduled for repayment over a period of 40 years with a very, very low interest rate of 1.375%. So that is that. You've got the loan resolution in front of you, the letter of conditions, and then also a graduation certification.
Is the $2,126,000, that's the total cost of the project, or is that a match?
That's the total budget. Okay. I can get the in the letter of conditions, we've basically got the budget. So we have in here budgeted for construction, we have approximately $1.6 million. We've got some contingency costs in there of $162,000. We've got our engineering fees, design fees, environmental fees. We have to have on-site project management through the engineer's office. That's in there. And then we've got interest on the interim financing and then bond council fees. So that all those costs make up that $2.126 million. And this is a loan only. We do not have any grant funds on this project.
Is that waterline only, or are there any other improvements to it?
Waterline only.
Just waterline. Do you know how many linear feet it is?
How many linear feet?
Three miles.
And I think I might add on this one, not sure if this is the one with the $90,000 MOB demob estimate in the construction cost or not, but we're pushing hard right now, not that we would pre-select Ames, but Ames has a ton of equipment here that we've already paid to mobilize it here, and we're going to pay to demobilize it at the end of the sewer project. So we're out to bid right now, and we open bids at some point, correct, Sherry? Mike, when do we open bids?
Well, we hope to open on the 26th of
April. Okay. And the hope is... But the hope is to get Ames interested in bidding so that we can avoid MOB and DMOB charges on one of these two projects, which is $90,000, as I recall.
Got it. Any other questions, Chad?
No.
Lance? Any public comment? Hearing none, we go ahead and get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the United States Department of Agriculture, known as USDA, Rural Development Loan Resolution for the financing for the Story County 5-mile waterline project.
I'll second your motion.
Move and second. Does that resolution have to be read into the record?
Title, right?
No.
Okay.
Just on an ordinance.
All right. It's been moved and second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along now, the trifecta of all this. Item 14, discussion of possible action, approval of resolution 18-484, authorizing an interfund loan to the Story County Water Fund from Story County General Fund for the 5-mile waterline replacement project. So, Kendra, you said there were some changes that you want to make the resolution on this?
Yes, Kendra Follett. So, section 4C of the resolution, we're going to strike the language that's there and insert the loan will bear an interest rate of 1.4976310%. And this, according to Hugh, is the local government investment pool rate that you're currently earning with the state. So it's 1.49. And I'll note that the borrowing rate from Story County is 1.375. So you're charging yourselves slightly higher than what USDA is willing to loan to you.
Okay, you lost me. I don't know what you just said.
When we get taken out by USDA, we'll be at 1.375.
Right.
We're actually, the water company will have to pay
1.49
to the county for that interim bridge loan.
To loan from the from the general fund to the water fund. And this is, again, as Sherry mentioned, this is required by USDA that you have to provide construction financing either through an you know, your internal financing, which this is, or through an outside source, as you did with the sewer line.
There's a requirement that the county would have to go ahead and charge interest?
There is no requirement, no. There's no requirement. And the way it was written, it provided that no interest would be charged.
And let me explain that, if I may. I mean, we're dealing with a captive water system here. We're saving that water system money by not having to go out into the interim financing market and pay Wells Fargo, which I believe we did last time.
Right.
But this is a captive water system, and we think it's fair to the captive water system that the general fund, the taxpayer funds, don't have to pay or subsidize that. So, therefore, Hugh and I have agreed, I hope, that we would take what we would earn from the local government investment pool and use that to establish the interest rate.
Okay. I got you.
And what was that interest rate again?
1.4976.310% per annum. So in 4C, we'd strike no interest will be charged on the loan, and we'd add the loan will bear, and we would insert there, the loan will bear an interest rate of 1.4976.310% per annum.
All right. Do you have any other questions? Okay. All right, we can open up for public comment. Is there any public comment regarding the approval of this resolution and the change in the verbiage of the interest rate?
Hot topic today.
Okay. With that said, we can go ahead and get a motion to approve this item.
Okay. With the change to Section 4C, deleting the no interest will be charged will change to loan will bear a 1.497630 interest rate. I'll move to approve the resolution 18-484 authorizing an interfund loan to the Story County Water Fund from the Story County General Fund for the 5 mile waterline replacement project.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Yeah, second.
All right. The move and second to approve resolution 18-484. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good. Next up is item 15, but what do you say we take about a 10-minute recess, okay?